Okay. Good morning, everyone, and Happy New Year, and welcome to the January 8th, 2015 Code Enforcement Board hearings. I will call the meeting to order as of now. And Madam Secretary, will you call the roll, please?
Ms. Pine?
Here.
Mr. Smart?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
And Mrs.
Hundy? Here. Okay.
And Mr.
Here. All right. Has everyone had a chance to look over the December 11th meeting minutes from last year?
Motion right. To approve.
All right. We have a motion to approve from Mr. Harrington and a second from Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
Can I just make sure everybody has their microphones and turn it on?
Okay, would anyone on the board like to disclose any ex parte communication? All right. Madam Secretary, do we have announcements?
Not that I'm aware of, ma'am.
Okay. All right, let's move on then. Would our code officers please come forward and be sworn in? Okay, here's our procedure. We will be calling cases by number for the most part in order as they are listed on the agenda. If there are any attorneys present, we will hear those cases first. When your case is called, please come forward and be sworn in. State your name and address for the record, and if you're not the owner of the property, please state your relationship to the owner of the property. Our proceedings are recorded, so please speak clearly into the microphone. The board will hear from the code officers first, and then you will be given the opportunity to respond. And please direct all your responses to the board. Witnesses may also testify following the same procedures. All right. Do we have any attorneys present?
I don't see anybody.
I don't either. Okay. So let's go. Let's start with our lien review. This is a lien review CEB 10-14-108, 833 North Ridgewood Avenue, James Ashburn, property owner, and Ace Cash Express. Inc. Please come forward if you're here.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Would you state your name?
Marion Harrell.
And what is your relationship to
I'm the district manager for the company.
For Ace?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right.
And Madam Secretary, he does have written authorization from the property owner.
Okay.
Here for this case.
Okay. All right, what would you like to... Well, let's hear from the code officers first.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board.
Good morning.
Anthony Jackson, attorney for the city representing the Code Enforcement Board. This is before you for a lien review, and you have a packet regarding that. The circumstance with this is, as you may recall, there were signs that were in violation. You found them in violation. The staff had given them time to come into compliance, and then the board had given them time to come into compliance. This circumstance was just prior to an event period, actually, or just followed the event period. It was around the mid to late October.
Oh, okay.
And then, and so they were given this immediate to avoid, of course, added advantage of other businesses. The inspector informs, and I will tend to the inspector to the board, but he informs me that they did not, they came into compliance on the principal sign, which was the banner signs. But as to the signs that were in the window, they were not in compliance at the time as required by your order. They subsequently notified us that they had made tried to contact the inspector, which was actually a couple of weeks after the deadline for the order, and said that the inspector was on vacation, which at that time he very well may have been, but it was well after the time period when they were due for compliance. The inspector does acknowledge that there was no the effect of the additional signage was very minimal because the issue was signage that was on the outside of the glass that had to be on the inside of the glass. And so in that regard, the inspector is asking to reduce the fine to $1,000. And in his brief conversation with the district manager, he's informing me that they have expressed that they would agree to that reduction.
Okay, is there anything you'd like to add?
No, we agree to the $1,000 fine. And I do agree with the attorney. The signage is the same. It's just now on the inside of the glass.
Okay. All right, do I have any board comments?
No, I'd like to make a motion that we accept the agreement of $1,000 in settlement of this case.
All right, we have a motion from Mr. Harrington and a second from Mr. Jones.
Payable in 30 days?
Payable in 30 days, or the fine will revert to the original amount.
Yes.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion passes. Thank you. All right, now we'll move on to our regular agenda. And we'll start with our cases, continued cases. Case number one is case number CEB 12-14-126, Angel and Jose Rivera at 224 San Juan Avenue. Is that person, respondent, present? Okay. Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this case, the inspector is Daniel Garcia. This is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector's advised that he's heard nothing from the respondents, and no action has been taken. And so, and I will tender the inspector to advise you of the current status of the violations, but the request is that the board impose a fine of $250 for the business tax receipt and $250 per day to $20,000 for the remaining violations. And I tender to the board Mr. Garcia.
Morning, Court Officer Garcia.
Good morning.
Well, basically, you see that it's still in non-compliance, no contact, as Tony Jackson stated. And
then is there any difference in the when they will be
The only difference is that they have now, I have not seen them have the extension cords across, running across the street, or not stealing power from next door anymore. I was there yesterday on the property, and I seen that they do have electric on. But that's it.
So they have tenants currently?
Yes.
Okay. Does the board have any questions?
What is your suggestion regarding the fine?
Well, for a no occupational license, it is a one-time fine of $250. That's one. The other is a running fine of $250 and capped at $20,000, which is, I looked on the Volusia County appraiser and it stated that it was worth like $19,900 or something.
You agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. The chair will entertain a motion to impose a one-time fine of $250 for lack of a BTR, and also impose a fine of $250 per day up to $20,000. Is there such a motion? All right, we have a motion from Mrs. Himes. Do we have a second?
Second
from Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion passes.
Effective today.
Effective today.
All
All right, case number two, CEB 12-14-132, Bruce Lindergrass, 388 Brookline Avenue. Is Mr. Lindergrass present?
Yes, I am.
Okay, please come up.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, let us hear from, well, state your name and address for the record. And say
Bruce Lindengrass, 388 Brookline Avenue.
Okay.
Daytona Beach.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you have provided is the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay, do you agree that some or all of these violations occurred at the time of notice?
I just know that it's all cleaned up.
Okay. We'll give you a chance to testify. Now, we'll hear from staff first. So are you agreeing that at some point when you were notified that this was not in compliance?
Madam Chair, we previously made the findings for noncompliance.
We did?
Yes,
okay.
Ma'am.
All right. Okay. All right. You were found in noncompliance. That's true. All right. So we'll hear from staff right now.
Yes, Madam Chair, the and members of the board, this is... as you can see, outside storing and parking of trailer in the front yard was the violation, as the pictures are indicating. The inspector has no knowledge of the compliance. I heard the gentleman just mention that he feels he's in compliance. The inspector has not been, hasn't made that determination as of this point. And I will, the request of the inspector, as to my, our last communication, is $250 fine. $250 per day to a maximum of $10,000, but I would send it to Inspector Tom Klieg and see if anything changes based on the announcement of the respondent.
Okay. Mr. Klieg?
Tom Klieg, my credentials are on file with City of Daytona Beach. This last photo was 1-7. You can see there's a trailer still out front. He's also got a sofa in his front of his property. And other than that, the vehicle... That red vehicle, of course, he painted and it's moved now, but he still has utility trailers out front, and he has outside storage on it, too, the sofa.
Okay, Mr. Lindergrass, what would you like to tell us?
There's no outside storage on the property. The trailers are moved behind... the corner of the house.
That trailer's still there, right there, the black one?
No, it's not.
That picture says it is.
When was that picture taken?
January 7th.
Okay, well, I don't know what when, but it's not there. The yard's been cleaned up. They had a yard sale.
Who's they?
The people that live with me.
Oh.
And there was a bunch of tools. I mean... I haven't liked this property since I painted it. I stuccoed it and painted it, and it's like, look at this blue. It looks terrible. You know, it's a hideous blue. But short of that, the guy's selling his truck, and all the trailers are behind it. The yard's cleaned up, raked.
Yeah. Is that a trailer there? And that picture's from yesterday?
I'm not talking about 7th or 8th.
Oh, okay. You said January 7th.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right.
I'm having a problem with my neighbor. This is going to be ongoing.
Your house is the blue house?
Yes.
And you live there?
Yes.
And you have people that live with you?
Yes. Well, I bring them in from the storm.
And, okay.
I own the Flamingo Motel. I just got rid of that. I'm downsizing, you know.
Can I have a question?
Go ahead.
Now, is that, I'm looking at a tie, and the back is covered. Is that a vehicle or just a trailer?
It's the trailer right there, the black trailer. And I apologize, I couldn't get out of the vehicle too good to get a closer shot. But that's that utility trailer. Then he has that one sometimes right behind it up front of the property setback line. But that day on the 30th, it was in behind a property which was would be in compliance. Well, but this right there, that trailer's still there. And then if you zoom to the left, you'll see there's a sofa out front of his house. And
okay. Mr. Lindergrass, did you call the code officer when your house was in compliance?
Yes.
What date did you call him?
I don't know. I came here to the city. They said, here, well, you have to call this number.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay. And I left here, and I was like, why didn't I call right from there?
Mm-hmm.
I left here. I pulled over in front of that little Irish pub after I got through the intersection, and mm-hmm. I called. And
he called me this morning. That's the only contact I had with him.
Well, I don't know if you were on vacation or what.
No.
I called you. I'm not lying. I've got nothing to lie about. You're gonna find me. You're going to find me. But I did call, swear to God. Now, it was during a Christmas thing, and I don't know how many days off people got, but...
Does anyone else on the board have any questions for either the code officers or for Mr. Lindergrass? Is there any discussion?
What was the problem with bringing people in at night? Is that people that are just homeless and you're trying to...
Mr. Jones, would you pull your mic down?
I can hear you.
Yeah, I was just curious as to who is staying at your home.
I can't even think of the name right now.
But you just, if there's somebody on the street and needs...
No, it's not like that.
Okay.
It's a friend.
Oh, okay, thank you.
All right, my question is, you say everything's done. That trailer's gone.
Trailer's gone.
Everything that's...
The sofa's gone?
Excuse me?
The sofa is removed?
Yes.
Well,
I'm sorry,
maybe
I didn't mean to interrupt.
I don't know how we do this. That we need to find, and then if you ask the inspector to go out, then we'll take care of whatever fine there is. I don't know any other way.
A garage sale too. Remove all items from front yard under garage sale items.
But do you have a permit for the garage sale?
Yes.
Okay.
But basically, you're saying this is all done.
This is all done.
He says, she says thing. All we can do is fine, and then have the inspector tell us.
You have a couple of options. You can continue the case for next month. You can.
I don't want to continue it, though.
Go ahead. And you
I don't want to be fined, sir, and then the inspector go out. It's 2 miles from here. You just go out if you have to do that. But it's cleaned up. I'd like the inspector
to
go out.
Well, we're not going to be able to clean it up. We're going to have to either continue it or fine you. There's no cleaning it up.
I'm saying there's no cleaning up beyond.
What you could do if you want is go ahead and if you want to continue, bring it back next month and make the fine retroactive to today if it's not cleaned up.
Could I have a recommendation, what your final recommendation is from code, please?
The staff's position remains the same. I just spoke with the inspector. The inspector's request is that a fine of $250 per day be imposed to a maximum of $10,000.
Okay. All right. So we have to decide whether this is what we want to go with or whether we want to do something else, whether we want to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow the respondent until the next cutoff to come into compliance. So I need to know what your feelings are.
Madam Chair, just so for the sake of the board, the inspector reports that the property has been a problem issue for the city.
Okay. How would that be, sir?
Well, I think there have been police complaints.
That's correct.
Well, I said I had a problem with my neighbor. She works for the tax department. She is the person. And that's her fence. There's a wooden fence there between our properties. It's on about a 15-degree angle. That trailer could not go back there until the fence was held up. I mean, I'm the one getting all the heat. She's got a swimming pool in the backyard. Rails on her fence are missing.
Well, you are free as a citizen to...
This has been
start a code case on that if that's what you choose to do.
That's been done.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with your case.
Right. But I'm just saying I don't want to turn it into a hate situation.
Right. And that's not a good idea. It's your neighbor.
Is this complaint driven?
Yes, police complaint.
Yeah, that, yes, it is.
Yes. Go ahead, Mrs.
When is it, guys?
No, it's out there to the 30th.
All right, Mrs. Himes.
The police complaints, I don't know.
Mrs. Himes.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion that we impose a fine of $250 per day for compliance.
Up to $10,000. Is there a second for that motion?
I'll second that. I think we need to do it the regular way, and then the inspector can settle it with you. And
if the inspector goes out and you're in compliance, the fine stops.
The fine stops.
Yeah.
But do I have to pay anything today? Do I have to leave a credit card here? I mean,
No.
Okay.
All right. I have a motion from Mrs. Himes and a second from Mr. Harrington. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. So the inspector can get with Mr. Klieg, and you can go out there. You can go out. He can go out there and reinspect the property.
Okay.
And if everything's in compliance, then, you know, there will be no fine. If it is not in compliance, the fine will continue.
Works for me. I mean, we're talking about a trailer.
I understand what you're saying.
Yard
but
sale
these are the items. these are code violations.
Now the couch that I know of that's out front is a wicker, like lawn furniture.
I think the case has been adjudicated and is closed. So if there's more to go on, we'll see you again or just pay the fine, whatever. But please get with Mr. Klieg. All right.
All right.
Case number 3, CEB 12-14-133, Bruce and Shirley Robinson at 523 Janice Avenue. Is the respondent present? No? All right. We'll hear from Cook.
Madam Chair, members of the board, as you can see from the photo, the violation is parking on the grass. It's before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector indicates that the violation has continued and is requesting a fine of $50 per day to a maximum of $10,000. The inspector is Tom Klieg, and I tender Mr. Klieg to the board.
My name is Tom Clegg. My credentials are on file with City of Daytona Beach. Gentleman came last code hearing and said that he would move the vehicle off the property of the grass. I went out there again in the end of December, and it was still on the grass and not moved. So.
Okay, and he's not here. So.
When did you,
Mr. Jones?
Last time you went out.
It was December. I think you can see the December 30th again on that one too.
This has been going on since July.
Yeah, he said that it was an issue. He thought that the police, he didn't want his cars broken into, so he wanted to bring it closer to his house.
Okay, any other board comments, questions? All right, the chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $50 per day against the respondent effective today and continue until compliance is achieved or it reaches the maximum of $10,000.
Can I ask a question first?
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Why is this one just 50 if he sort of ignored us since the summer? Is this something you think he'll come into compliance with pretty quick?
I'd say he was an elderly gentleman, and I gave him a benefit of doubt. I thought he'd be here today, but
okay,
kind of shocked.
All right,
I will say a $50 parking spot is a pretty hefty penalty.
Yes. Right.
Unless you're in New York.
Yeah. All right, do I have a motion?
So moved.
All right, a motion from Mrs. Himes.
Second.
Second from Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right, let's move on to our new cases. Case number 4, CEB 01-15-01. Patricia A. Bogan Robles at 729 Edwards. The respondent present? Okay, please come forward. Just a second. We need to excuse Mrs. Himes. Mrs. Himes is excused at 9:26. We still have a quorum, so we'll continue. All right. Would you please state your name and address for the record and be sworn in?
Yes, my name is Patricia Ann Bogan Robles.
Robles.
Mm-hmm. 729 Edwards Street.
Okay. All right, you're the owner of the property, correct?
Yes, I am.
Do you agree that some or all of the... Okay, sorry.
I do.
Okay, do you agree that some or all of these violations occurred at the time that you were given notice?
Yes.
Okay. All right, we'll hear from staff and then we'll hear what you have to say.
Okay.
This case is a determination of compliance or noncompliance. I will present the Inspector John Stinson for the factual information for the board.
Okay.
Good morning, John Stinson, Code Enforcement Inspector with City of Daytona Beach. My qualifications are on record with the city. This case came to me as a tenant complaint. The complaint was of roof issues and interior surfaces. Upon my site inspection, I found all the other listed complaints and violations that are listed here on your agenda. My last property inspection was on 12-4, and the property remained in non-compliance at that time. City is asking for the property to be brought into compliance by the next cutoff. I'm sorry.
All right. Ms. Bogan Robles, what would you like to tell us?
I'd like to tell you that from the time I got the complaint, I had worked on my property to put everything in order. I've had a number of problems wherein the gentleman that was doing the work for me kind of absconded with my money, and I wasn't able to complete. But some of the complaints, like outside storage, was like three tires against the frame
mm-hmm.
of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that was, it had been moved, a young lady moved them outside again so she could clean the inside surfaces of the house. And I guess she didn't know that they shouldn't be outside. The roof has never leaked. There was one board that's right on the side between the roof and the ceiling that a gentleman had, who was working with me, had turned to an angle. It rained in through that particular opening. When they took down the wallboard to repair it, they showed me that the problem, because I could look up out at the sky. And so I've done everything I can. I've also hired more people. I have secured a permit. I've put in place a commitment to commence. I have some plans to try to get what Mr. Stinson is requiring of me in order. And I'm just asking time to be able to do that.
You have no tenant, correct?
I have no tenants. I've had no tenants for the last 3 months. In fact, I don't plan to lease it or rent it for a while, because every time I do to try to help somebody, I end up, when they don't want to comply, they call code enforcement on me. Code enforcement comes and I have a problem.
So you're aware if you do rent it, you'll have to get the license?
A license, absolutely.
So you, no one lives there at this time? This is a vacant property?
It's a vacant property.
You don't live there either?
I don't live there.
Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the board, the inspector would like to advise the board that this did arise as a tenant complaint, and this is a property that has been a continuous complaint issue for the inspector. This is the fourth time he's had to be involved in this property. even for the issues of rental inspection. They've had to cancel three times, canceled by the owner for even the rental inspections. So this is something that the staff desires, that this gets remedied, that it requires maybe a bit of a push, but we believe that it can be done by next cutoff, and that's the request of the staff.
Excuse me, may I contest that?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, my memory is not quite so clear. Would you read that again, please? Because there are some things that are not quite the case. Or may I look at it so I can speak on it?
I just spoke that which was advised to me by the staff.
I understand. Can I hear it so that I can? Because there were some things that were said, and I'd like to kind of contest.
What would you like to contest?
That's what I'm trying to see now. There were several things that were said, and
are you saying that the violations? You'd like to contest some of the violations?
Yes, like the fourth time, and the house has been empty for 3 months. So if somebody went out there during this time, the first time I met Mr. Stinson, someone called him because they were fighting on my property, and I asked the police officer not to let them back on the property. And I pointed out to Mr. Stinson where she'd taken a broom, knocked down the ceiling. They were people that wanted my property because I was living in Seattle at the time. I thought they were homesteading my property when I got there because the lawn man had rented my house. I had no idea. And I think that might have been maybe my third contact with Mr. Stinson.
Since September?
No, not since September. The house has been empty since the end
of... Well, I know, but the original, you were notified in the beginning of September, 9/11/2014.
And I was working on the property. One of the times he came, and the debris that was in the backyard was because the gentleman was working on the property. If you saw the long bench and the paint cans and what have you, at that time he was working on the property to try to get it in order. And also, the tenants did things to the property so that they could call Mr. Stinson out. Say, for instance, the light fixture that had nothing in it, I just had the house rewired with Mr. Sanders, Willie Sanders. They took the fixture down to have something to show to Mr. Stinson. A number of things. That door is not closed. I know the property so well that when I first saw the picture, I said, that door isn't even closed. Up under the sink, once it was cleaned out, and I agree that the door does need to be replaced, and I have plans to close it off. Up under the sink where there was a hazard, I had a certified person to come out, and they asked me what hazard. There's no plumbing hazard under here. The board was dirty. It needed to be painted, but that was something that the man that absconded was supposed
what
to
do. What did you get for permits?
At the time...
No, now. What do you
have
for permits?
Right here.
Excuse me?
I have a permit. I have the application for my permit.
You
right
have
here.
An application for a permit?
I was told by permits and licensing that for the kind of work I needed, I didn't need a permit.
But you applied anyway?
No, I applied yesterday anyway because I want to satisfy Mr. Stinson.
Let me
go ahead.
Something. If I can, I'm sorry, Ms. Holmes, if I can just clarify one thing, that I was not trying to stir up Ms. Robles because these aren't really issues that we have to remedy. If our intent is to get this property in compliance, the question of whether she did it last week or last month, wasn't an effort to stir up. Just, I don't know if there is a dispute as to which amount of time. We just felt that we want this to be an urgent remedy. So I just wanted to make that clear. And I'm sorry, go ahead and ask.
Did I hear you just say that permits and license told you that for what you needed to do, you did not need
a permit? That's right.
Are there any other questions from...
Okay.
The board.
Our job is not to determine the various reasons why. It's to ask you to have this done by the next cutoff or come to a hearing again.
How long do you think it will take you to correct these violations?
May I ask when the next cutoff date is?
The next cutoff date is February 4th.
I will need more time because I have to have the money to have a lot of this stuff done. I want it done well. The property has, my family's been on that property for 50 years. And nobody wants the property to shine more than me. I've done a reverse mortgage on my home so I can get some extra money. So I'm trying to get money.
How long do you think it will take you to get the property in compliance? I'm asking
you. Could you give me a few months so that I can make sure that it's in compliance? Or at least a month? Because
something we'll discuss.
I don't know when my money's going to come through, but I know that I'm going to have it done.
Well, we'll give you a date certain.
All right, you're going to work in stages. So
yes.
If we gave you an extension, it would be reasonable for us to ask for a progress report that you've done something.
Of course.
And if you don't, then you would understand that we might go back to today's date and apply a fine. Or we're not setting a fine today, but we can find you certainly in noncompliance and ask for if we want to give you 2 months. I'm not going several months. I don't think that's reasonable.
Okay.
But 2 months with a progress report.
Mr. Jones?
What's staff's recommendation?
Staff's recommendation remains that this can be done by next cutoff with reasonable diligence. It is rental property. Signing an affidavit that you're not going to rent it anymore?
Not until everything is in order and if I decide to, because like I said, every time I try to rent it or help somebody by renting it, I've had a problem. I can use the property for vacation property for me and my husband. He has MS. We can come down to the games, live on in my house. I don't have to rent that house.
A lot of this is really not germane to the case. So I would like to move on with making it a decision. I understand that you need to get some work done there, and I asked you how much time you needed. And the code officers have suggested to us that we give you till the next cutoff date to get this work done.
I may not have enough money because I heard a figure of $6,000. And like I said, I'm trying to do a reverse mortgage.
What have you done so far from September till now?
I had the ceiling replastered, a good part of it. Like I said, it was around September that I paid somebody to come in and do everything. And they absconded with my money. He didn't correct things that I paid him good money for and left him with several hundred dollars to get materials to complete everything. I live in West Palm Beach, Florida. I wasn't here to oversee everything.
That is something that this board can't really do anything about. That we just can't do anything about that. When you own a property, you're the one that's responsible for the property. So I'm going to ask if anyone else on the board has any questions, or would anybody like to make a motion?
I make a motion.
All right.
For the next cutoff for completion.
All right.
February or March?
The next cutoff is 2/4/15.
Can you give me until March?
Well, we have a motion before us. Is there a second to that motion?
No second.
We just need to include in that motion a finding.
Yes. Order the respondent to come into compliance by 2/4/15, which is the next cutoff date, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is that... That's the motion.
Well, that's actually not in the motion. You need to make a finding of noncompliance. We haven't made the finding of noncompliance yet.
We did. She said, well, fine. All right. The chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, which is 2/4/15, or B, return to the board for a consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Do I have such a motion?
So moved.
So moved. And I have a motion by Mrs. Himes, a second by Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
I have a question, please.
Answer it, probably.
I think what you should do is probably get with Mr. Stenson or with Mr. Jackson and ask him your questions. Okay. Now we're going to move on to case number 5, CEB 01-15-04. Kistine and Malin Atchana. I am sorry if I have really butchered those names.
Good morning. Good morning.
Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Kistine Atchana, and I'm in reference to 501 University Boulevard.
Okay. Would you just want to?
Sure. Yes, I do.
Okay, and you're the owner of the property?
Yes.
And do you agree that this violation occurred at the time of notice?
When I got the notice, the wall did fail, okay. But this was something that was happening previously. It was caused by the previous, my next door neighbor. They have trees, and I have pictures. But when they build a pool back there, and then they use heavy duty equipment to walk on the lawn, and they cut some trees down, and they dropped the tree on top of the wall. And he had told me that I originally thought this wall belongs to them because they are next door. And for years, we never knew whose wall it was because it's a retaining wall supporting their property. And I always thought it was their wall. So
okay.
Whenever I would talk to the gentleman about it, because the tree roots was actually pushing the wall, he would tell me, don't worry, I'll put a brand new wall.
I'm going to let you continue,
okay.
But let me hear from staff first. Okay. And then we'll give you a chance to tell us your story.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is, as indicated, here for determination of compliance and non-compliance. The inspector is Tom Klieg. I do want to say that I hear the explanation from Mr. Atchana, and at this point, it's not anything where the staff is trying to say he's a bad guy. Just need the wall fixed. So we're asking that be done by next cutoff.
Okay.
And you know, whatever reason why it happened, that's mm-hmm. not much an issue as far as right
okay.
now, at least.
All right.
Okay. I have pictures here prior to the the way you're putting your pictures up. Can you put these pictures up on the screen for them to see? I have pictures of this wall prior to the neighbor starting the construction, showing the wall in perfect condition. And then right after they cut the trees, and I'll show it with the trees being in the picture. And right after they cut the trees, that's when the wall, shifted the entire wall.
This is your wall, correct?
Yeah, but they damage it. That's a problem.
Well,
damage the wall. That's what I'm trying to prove here, because he told me he's going to put a new wall when he finishes and try for me not to worry about it, because every time I go by, I'm seeing this tree root. I have a tenant that lived there for 8 years is here. I have a guy that does maintenance for me that was there prior to, and they all seen the condition of the wall. At one time, we were thinking of painting the wall. We asked him if we could paint the wall because he's facing my property.
You didn't know it was your wall.
I did not even know it was my wall, so I asked him if I could paint the wall, and he says, don't worry, I am putting up a brand new wall when I finish put my pool in. He brought in heavy-duty equipment, bulldozers, he brought tree-cutting equipment, and right after they finished cutting the tree, I have the pictures to prove that's when the wall got pushed out and got cracked and got damaged, and then he must have came to the city for the permit, and then he found out that the wall was in my property, so all of a sudden he changed his mind, and he did not want to fix any wall anymore. So what he did, he went and he put a white wall fence right next to it, and during that process, when the wall has all these big, and I always show the pictures with the cracks in it. So basically, this guy told me he was going to take care of it, because it's keeping his property up, not mine. Mine is on the lower level. And now he's forcing me to put a solid concrete wall to protect his property.
Madam Chair, the position of staff, and I believe it will have to be the position of the board, is that that's not something that this board can remedy.
We can't fix that for you.
At this point, the only issue before you is just to determine whether or not it can come into compliance.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if we'll ultimately have to make decisions of a fine, which we're not even close to at this point, then that information may be useful in making those determinations, but at this point, it's that's really not relevant.
You understand the issue is it's your wall, regardless of how it got that way now. We want to know at the next hearing, because we're going to take action how you're going to repair, what you're going to do to repair it, and
what I would need some time, because now I would have to probably retain an attorney and try to get this guy to take this guy to court next door. So on that, all of this can, I don't think it's possible that all of this can happen by your next meeting. And plus, even fixing this wall would take much longer than that. I would need to get an attorney. I was already seeking to do one, but I was told to wait until I come to the board and let them, help me make a decision. So basically, now I realize that if I'm going to have to fix the wall, and his fence, he put a fence right up there. I would have to go into his fence, actually, to remove, because the tree stumps are still from his over.
I understand that, but that's not...
I understand, but it's going to be something that...
Can you tell us when you think you can get this wall?
Well, I would need to, first of all, I don't know, I have to get an attorney, I have to take him to court, and then, because...
Yeah. An attorney taking somebody to court is not the board's concern.
I know, but the wall is going to take a long time to fix.
You need to fix the wall, and then whatever expense you have, you can go to your attorney, and if you want to go after the other party, that's up to you. But we can't, because it could take years to get the litigation to take place, and somebody can get hurt out there.
I know. It's in my property that's the one that looks bad. His is clear and his is doing good, but I'm the one who's bearing the brunt of this every time a brick falls.
All right. We understand that you are in a predicament, but it is not something that we can do anything about. This board can do anything about. The only thing we can do is to find you in non-compliance and ask you to fix the wall and bring it into compliance.
Well, it's a real big wall. It's probably over 100 feet in length, and and I don't know, do I have to put that wall all the way through? I mean, from beginning to end? I mean, if I am going to repair a wall, I don't want to go and repair just the part in between.
Mr. Klieg will tell you what.
Okay.
That's his option. I just want the wall repaired, that section, but he's telling me he wants to do the whole 100 feet. That's your option.
No, I'm saying if I need to fix it, I have to do it right. Then I'm going to need permission from that gentleman, because his tree roots are in. I have big pictures of the tree roots that's on top of my wall. So I have to get permission from him to cut that off. You know, it's not going to be that simple.
I think
probably
we need
gonna,
to move the question.
Right.
I'm going to need a long
We understand that you're in a predicament. The chair will entertain a motion. Does any member of the board have anything else to say?
No. Okay. Finding a non-compliance.
Okay.
The motion. That's it. Break, be fixed.
I would like to get about 90 days at least, if it's possible, because to even get permit and set up
I'm
the
sorry,
wall.
I'm sorry, we have a motion on the floor. The chair is going to entertain a motion to find the respondent in non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, which is February 4th, 2015, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Mrs. Himes made a motion. A second.
Second.
Mr. Harrington, the second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. So what we have said is that we've found you in noncompliance. Just by looking at this, we can, and by the code officer's testimony, we see that you are not in compliance. So you have to come into compliance. We can't fix your other problems. It's not up to us. This is just something that we need to do, and that you need to get moving on. And when you come back here next month, we hope that it's finished.
And so
you can get with Mr. Klieg.
Yeah, Mr. Klieg will, the part that needs fixing, others.
Okay. All right. So you may talk to Mr. Klieg. And we'll move on to the next, number six. Case number CEB01-15-02, Plantation Acres, LLC, 124 Orange Avenue. Is the respondent present? Okay. Please state your name and address for the record and be sworn in.
Steve Karp, 132 Dr. Mary Bethune.
Raise your hand, please, sir. Do you solemnly swear
yourself swear or affirm that the testimony you have provided is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you spell your last name for me, please?
K-A-R-P.
Are you the owner of the property?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right, we're going to, do you agree that some of these violations occurred at the time of notice?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. We'll hear from code enforcement right now, Mr. Newell or Mr. Jackson. And then we'll give you a chance to respond, sir.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board, this property is before you for compliance or noncompliance. This is the fire inspector, and the inspector is David Newell. And I will tender Mr. Newell. I want to make sure we're all in agreement that we're doing number 6, 124 Orange Avenue.
Okay. Number 6, 124 Orange Avenue, correct.
Okay. Madam Chair, members of the board, the case that's in front of you is a hotel right down here on Orange Avenue. Has numerous violations as it relates to, as you see in the pictures, exit signs, some issues with the fire department connection, some issues with firewalls and extension, what would be in extension from one floor to the other, fire alarm system not being allowing for us to get in at the time. Mr. Karp, I've been in contact with him regarding the next case, but we have not discussed this case. Currently, staff's recommending noncompliance for the next cutoff.
Mr. Newell, have we seen this case before, for this building before?
I believe a year or two.
Was this the building where there was a fire?
No, ma'am. This is not a fire.
Right.
That's a totally different address.
All right. I'm trying to.
It was across the street.
Across the street. Okay.
This is the one that was in front of you a couple years ago regarding the fire escape on the back of the property.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But that is not part of the issue right now. All right.
They corrected that issue
when
the violation occurred.
Mr. Karp, what would you like to tell us?
First of all, I think the main problem is that, and it's probably our problem, that the notices are being sent to Las Vegas, Nevada, to the corporate office. So I have to get with the county and change the address
so that
I get them locally.
Yeah.
You can get further information. You can send me notices here.
That'll be excellent.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I'm here on the ground every day today, every night.
Well, that would be for what we have happening now, but I guess the problem would still be if there's a future violation, then you're going to have the same delay unless you have
I'm going to change that.
In this particular case, we always look at the public records, but if each can work with you and get you, you can always send both addresses you have.
Yeah, both addresses have to be changed to a local address here so that I'm aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, at any rate, I have to check. I'm sorry?
I was just going to say, go ahead and provide that for the record right now.
The new address?
Yeah.
The 124 Orange Avenue.
Okay, so just mail it to the location?
Yeah, I'm there every day and night. Not every night, but certainly every day.
Okay.
Do you receive mail there under your name?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Is there a specific name to the business?
Just
your name.
Just my name is fine.
Have you been in contact with Mr. Newell so you know what you need to do to come into compliance?
Absolutely.
Right. Okay.
With both these cases, we've been in contact with him regarding the other property.
Okay.
And we have had contact on numerous occasions as it relates to the other property, but not this property. So he has been in contact with me.
Okay.
What's your recommendation?
Noncompliance, next cutoff.
Okay. Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance in order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000. Is there such a motion? Motion by Mr. Smart, second by Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay, now we'll move on. So you just get with Mr. Newell and so you know exactly what needs to be done by the next time you come. Okay. All right. The second case, which is you're the owner of this property at 132 Dr. Mary McLeod Bethune Boulevard, case number CEV01-15-03.
Correct.
Okay. You don't need to be sworn again, right?
No.
All right. Mr. Newell, we'll hear from you.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this property has numerous issues as it relates, again, some of them having to do sprinklers, some to do with self-latching doors, a lot of these type of items in which you see in front of you. In this specific property, I've been in contact with Mr. Karp. Stated to me earlier this week that he has completed all the violations. However, I was unable to do a reinspection to ensure that these have been or have not been completed. So staff is recommending non-compliance next cutoff, and as soon as I get the opportunity in the next week, I'll go check the property to ensure compliance.
Okay, that sounds good. The chair will entertain a motion to find. Did you want to say anything, sir?
No, I was just going to say I agree to that.
Okay.
Also, the corporation is located in Las Vegas.
Yes, ma'am.
So, should there
same address? Same address, please.
Is there a way of saying both places, so we don't get a situation that send him copy and also Las Vegas copy?
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure. I didn't know if I should send it to this actual location or the
124. You could send it to the 124 Orange address.
Okay. All right, that's clear.
That's more secure mail.
Okay. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, which is 2/4/15, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 a day. Is there such a motion?
Second.
All right. We have a motion from Mr. Smart and a second from Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. Thank you.
You're welcome. And also, could I just add one thing? I was also in contact with Mr. Garcia, although I never met him, regarding the Orange Avenue property because there were some issues with the previous owners, which was, I believe, Florida Community Bank that took back the property from four gentlemen that owned it over the years. And it was a roof issue. And I just want everyone on the board to know that I spent $27,000 in the last 90 days, and there's a brand new roof on it.
Wow, good. Thank
you. And secondly, I'm in communication with, I believe his name is Jason, with the city to repaint the exterior of the Bayview Hotel within the next 90 days.
Great.
It's just been, financially large.
No, thank you for taking care of your property. We appreciate that and bringing it into compliance.
And also, and I'm purchasing across the street from you, the Three Oaks Inn.
Oh.
Although I call it the Two Oaks Inn because the current owner cut down one of the trees evidently during one of your
Let's
not even
discuss that.
I think
another tree code violates for trees.
No, but anyway, that's
leave it alone.
Okay, thank you very much. All right. We'll move on to case number 8, CEB01-15-05, FP Real Properties, LLC, 431 North Halifax. Is the respondent present? No. All right, we'll hear from staff.
This is 34.
This is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Fire Inspector David Newell, and I will attend to him for the factual information.
Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this was sent to me by a fire alarm contractor. Basically, they don't meet the code requirements as it relates to the installation of this fire alarm system. It's very outdated, and I've never seen anything this old. So this was driven by them. We've reviewed the codes. They do not meet what is considered the existing code. I have been in contact with the management company on this. Initially, they weren't really getting things accomplished. However, we've been in contact now, and they are moving forward to replace the fire alarm system. A lot of the items that are non-compliance have to do with what is called audiovisual notifications, along with you know, things not being at the right area, height as it relates to pull stations and stuff. So from my understanding, they've gotten three quotes after speaking with him. They are settling on a contractor to do those repairs and have it come into compliance. Staff recommendations, non-compliance, next cutoff.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. This is an apartment complex?
Yes, ma'am. It's I think it's 15 or 16 units, apartment complex on North Halifax, just before the Oak Ridge, right before the Seabridge Bridge area. Oak Ridge.
Okay. 16 units. Okay.
It's on the right side going.
Well, it doesn't. I just wanted to know if there was more.
It's on the west side of the road.
This is not a single-family house we're dealing with.
No, sir. Okay. Or no, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent in non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, which is 2/4/15, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 a day. Is there such a motion?
Second.
Motion by Mr. Jones, a second by Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Thank you. All right. That, I think, is the end of our hearing of cases. And what I'd like to do now is move on to miscellaneous business. Are we going to get to elections today? All right. You got a packet with... I was really hoping we'd have everybody...
You have some other items on your agenda. Don't we want to do those first?
I don't know. Do we want to do elections?
Yeah, we need to do elections.
We need to do elections. That's fine. Okay.
We need to throw out the president and the chair.
We can revisit, throw out the chair, right?
Yeah.
All right. We need to do elections. The procedure for that is that we need nominations.
Right. Nominations for chairperson.
Nominations for chair, and then we'll do nominations for vice chair.
I make a motion that we accept Woozy as continuing as our chair.
Second.
All right, I have a motion and a second. All in favor? Should I pass that to somebody?
No, move the nominations be closed.
I'm going to move that the nominations be closed for president.
So moved.
All right. Do we need a second to do that?
Take a vote on nomination.
Right. Are the nominations closed? Let's have a vote. We have a motion to close the nominations.
Yes.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Like, sign, opposed. All right. The nominations for president, for chairman of the code board are closed. So now we'll have
motion to reappoint
the current chairperson. Is there such a motion?
So moved. Here's the gavel.
Is there a second? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
Congratulations.
Congratulations to whoever that is. Alright. Alright, now we need we need to move on to the vice presidency. We'll open the nominations. Do we have a nomination for vice president?
Vice chair.
I'm sorry. I'm getting confused now. Vice chair.
You're very ambitious.
I know, really. Do we have a vice chair of the United States? Do we have a motion to nominate someone for vice chair? I will make a motion to nominate Mrs. Himes for vice chair. Is there a second? All right, we have a motion and a second. We need to close the nominations for vice chair. We have a motion. Do we have a second to that? All in favor of closing the nominations, say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. All right, now do we need to...
Motion
to elect Mrs. Himes as the vice chair.
So moved.
We have a motion. We have a second? We have a motion from Mr. Harrington, second from Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, sign, opposed. All right. Congratulations, Mrs. Hines. Here we go. Another year. Another day, another dollar.
We're going to vote on the salary increases?
Yeah, salary increases next time. Okay. All right, so we are missing Mrs. Lucas today.
And do we have somebody we're appointing?
No, we have no one else appointed yet.
One, two, three,
four, five. It wasn't on the.
What is the topic?
I'm sorry. Well, all we're talking about is do we have a new member?
Oh, okay.
And has, because we're missing a member, correct? Right. We're down one member. Two, three, four, five, six. We're supposed to have seven, correct?
Right.
And that hasn't been brought forward by the commission yet. So,
Madam Chair, Mrs. Lucas got her calendars mixed up because I knew she was coming, but she told me yesterday that she was looking at an old calendar.
And
called me here to wonder why we was having it on Friday.
That was today's call? Okay. All right. Okay, so let's move back to then our, I don't know if there's an item number for it, under miscellaneous business discussion regarding rules and regulations and board procedures. What I'd like to do, and I'm sorry Mrs. Lucas isn't here, because I think a number of us up here have been to workshops. I don't know that Mrs. Lucas has been to workshops, but what I'd like to do is have to start off with.
I would just like to say thanks to Amy, because this was really, I think this was really what was needed.
I think so too.
To me, this is more informative than a workshop.
Right, than the workshops. I agree with that, and thank you for doing that, Amy, for us. What I'd like to do is to let Mr. Garcia and Mr. Jackson go. Have there been any changes that the board needs to be aware of, either in state law or in any of the laws that we're governed by?
It is. I know you want to hear from Mayor Mr. Garcia, but also let's not forget Mr. Cino, since
all right,
he's your
Mr. Cino.
Since he is your counsel,
okay.
And he's real sharp on okay. keeping up on that stuff.
Okay,
much
that's great.
I'll be more than I am.
I'll be real quick. First of all, I'm not aware of anything that's come up, but if something does come up, I will share that with you.
Okay.
In terms of that.
And we usually, if we either one of us spot something, we'll shoot it each other's way and make sure that
right.
you know, we're all on the same page.
Okay, I didn't know because this, you know, this is dated 2014 Florida statutes, and I didn't know whether there was any change
no.
from.
I think the last two changes were like what 89.
Yeah, there's not many. Sometimes the sessions will change. The last time they did was they changed the notice requirement that it could be a. Other than that, there hasn't been any changes at all. 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Well, did everybody have a chance to go over
yes.
this? Okay.
I just want to emphasize a couple of issues.
Yeah,
just
go
real
ahead.
Quickly. Please understand that we are a quasi-judicial board. Sometimes we forget that.
Mm-hmm.
We're not the planning board. We're not the board of adjustment. We're not the beautification board. We are a quasi-judicial board, which means we act as if we were a judge. So when people come here, the only people that can testify in front of us are the city, its agents, and witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
When Big John came in that day, even though we try to be courteous, unless he's a witness called by either the city or called by the respondent, he shouldn't be discussing. This is not a public hearing to discuss what codes are good, what codes are not good.
Right.
They have the problem with the codes, they bring it to the commission.
Okay. We had someone else that came in, too. I think he was a realtor that wanted to discuss. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Those realtors that wanted to discuss, I don't know, I can't remember what, but.
Just remember that we're quasi-judicial. We act as if we're a court.
Right.
And number two. Number two is that, again, that we always ask about ex parte communication at the beginning of the meeting. You know, avoid ex parte communication on any possibility. Meet somebody over at the Publix or, you know, and so let's talk about the case. Try to avoid that. If you get something in the mail, make sure that Amy gets it. The way to protect yourself is that just disclose. I ran into Mr. Smith at the mall, and we didn't discuss the case. I just want to let you know, and then you're fine.
Okay. All right. Now, do we... I'll give you an example. The other day, I got an email from someone in my neighborhood describing problems at a certain address that were...
Right.
And I sent it straight to Amy.
That's fine.
I also said to him, don't ever do this again. But the case is not before
right.
us, so I don't need to reveal that until...
You don't need to reveal it at all. It was not a case in front of us.
Okay.
But I'm saying that you did the right thing, just refer it to her.
Okay.
But you're right. It's not to be a case in front of us or a case you anticipate to be in front of us, one we've heard already. But you know, you're not going to be able to... Every time there's an email to you, you're not going to send it to Amy.
Well, pretty much if there's a...
Code violation.
Well, if it's about a specific address and specific code
yeah.
violation.
Yeah, I think the phrase that Hector just used, which is probably, if it's something that's going, that has any possibility of coming before the board,
right.
you know, now or in the future, then
right.
you probably want to get it over to Amy.
I think so.
If it's something that just has nothing to do with what the board does,
right.
then,
right.
you know.
Communication means written or verbal. It doesn't mean you're driving down the street and you happen to notice something.
No, that's true. But don't drive down the street, get out of your car and inspect the property.
Right.
Something
which I was did once.
Okay. So anybody okay on next point
yeah.
of communication?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Again, I want to point out that what you get in front of you is public records, obviously. If you ever get a situation where somebody asks you for something, refer them to City Hall. They have a process here at City Hall. They can get any public records anytime they want. You know, don't ever say no to anybody. Just say refer them to City Hall. You know, the whole idea about that we don't want public records in our house because our neighbors are going to come to us and ask us to copy for them at our house. I mean, that's far. It comes up at all the seminars. It's far-fetched. I've never had a situation ever where somebody went to somebody's house asking for public records.
Right.
So just refer them to City Hall, and there's a procedure, and then go through that. Again, the last thing is Sunshine Law. Remember, we are not to discuss. We run into each other at at Sears, or we run into each other at the restaurant. Do not discuss the cases. Doesn't mean you can't be social. You can't go to a different place with the people. Just don't discuss the case.
Right. Okay. Suppose the case has been adjudicated, then what?
Still don't discuss it.
Still don't discuss it.
You can always come back.
Yeah,
I'll leave
with I know.
You.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The other thing, the other little issue I want to bring out is conflicts of interest. Merely because a person's your neighbor, or you live on that same street, or you happen to be in the same social club together, doesn't make it a conflict of interest. Conflict of interest is money.
Right.
If you're going to make some sort of money on the deal. However, a lot of times people, I never tell someone who feels it's uncomfortable for them to vote or have a conflict of interest not to vote or not to induce you a conflict, because when the Commission on Ethics comes after you, it's, you know, you're stuck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so... If you feel uncomfortable, if you don't want to vote, for whatever reason, it's your decision. Just make sure you get the appropriate paperwork. And
right. And the Commission of Ethics recently softened to that
right.
point where it's really, you know, how do you feel about this? You don't have to wait and actually have an actual conflict,
right.
but just the appearance of impropriety is enough.
Right.
So if you say, hey, this just isn't going to look right, that's my neighbor. No,
right.
they're not going to get, I'm not going to get anything for it, but it's still my next door neighbor,
right.
and I'm not
sure.
going to do it.
Right.
Or,
right.
Or extremely close friend.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
that may not be part of the rule, but hey,
right.
this just isn't going to look right.
Sorry.
I had
okay.
what I thought was a conflict one time. I was in partners with somebody who was here before us on a case that had nothing to do, and I revealed that, and I was told that was not a conflict.
It's not.
Right, and at that time, the rules were pretty much on a strict rule that said there's an actual conflict, then you have the basis for not participating. Now the rule is softened down to if there's an appearance of impropriety. So your situation now may have very well have said, oh, maybe if you feel that that's going to be problematic,
okay.
don't.
Yeah, yeah, okay. If you feel you have a problem, conflict, I'm not going to tell you don't have one.
Right.
Just go ahead and do what you think is appropriate.
Okay.
You're next on the hook. But usually the bottom line, with I would say 99% of the conflicts today, money. So people with money.
Right. Okay.
I have a question.
But even you still could choose not to vote on it.
Only caution. No, go on.
You understand is that we want you to vote. That's why you're here. You're not here not to declare conflicts. You're here to vote. So the legislature wants to encourage you to vote on these issues. However, If you have a situation where you have a you feel you have a conflict, you have a conflict.
Yeah, what I was going to say is I have researched this in the past, and there was a time when you were compelled to remain and vote. And that's the shift. The shift is, we're not going to make you vote if you really feel in your heart you got a problem with this thing.
Right.
But we don't want you just, because you don't like the issue, not vote. Or because it's controversial, not vote. We want you to vote because in your heart you're wrestling with, you know, the issue of fairness. You know, this isn't going to look right, or I'm not going to feel right when on what I'm saying, because I have a lot of reasons why I disagree. You know, and I don't even know if I'm saying that right, because there's some things that you may have a strong opinion on, and that's not enough to not vote.
Right. Well, go ahead and vote against whatever.
Yeah. But just make sure that if you're conflicted and you're legitimately conflicted, that you raise that. And if there's any question, and this will help for what you asked as well, Ouija, because I can't, that issue of, well, when a case is all over and everything, can't we talk about it? Well, you always can talk to your attorney.
Mm-hmm.
So if you need to know something or want to talk about something, now, quite honestly, our preference is that you try and catch him when he's here and not call him. Mm-hmm. Although he may not mind, we don't want him to be...
There's a few calls over the years.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a big deal.
You know, we're thinking from billing perspective, but mm-hmm. he wouldn't mind. But, but if you want to ask Charlie something... Without,
I always try to get here at least 15, 20 minutes ahead of time.
You know, if it's not an open meeting. If it's not open meeting, you can't talk about it to each other.
Right.
But you can all talk about it individually to Charlie.
Right. Okay.
Okay. I mean, you can talk about it to me, and technically, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm kind of conflicted a little bit because I represent the city, and the statute never really figured out how to look at that.
Right.
So. I mean, I still have ethical duties, so I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest with you, so you can ask me anything.
Okay. All right, we have a question from Mr. Harrington.
Yes. This is, Charlie, maybe you could fill me in on the history of this. This is under tab E, hearings, section B. I've survived three or four chairmen. And each one of them does the same thing, and it's always sort of bothered me. B, when it's so, when the
wait, what page are you on?
It's page 4.
Okay.
B.
Under Article 8?
Under hearings.
Under hearings.
Okay. Oh, okay.
The chairman shall read the notice of violation. Okay.
I have a question.
It would seem. To me, that the next thing that should be stated is by the staff of what the actual violations are. But in this thing, it says the alleged violator shall be asked if he wishes to contest the charges. We don't phrase it that way. We ask, did the charges exist at the time, which to me feels like an admission of something before the charges are even presented.
That's true. We're trying to do, we're trying to get a stipulation or a consent that the violation exists, and then change the burden to staff at that point. He says, no, they didn't exist. I'm not in violation. And they've got to prove their case.
Yeah, and I think wouldn't it be the normal answer if I was a defendant? Is that's what we're here to determine.
Right, but
not to say, yes, they did.
Except in most situations, they admit there are violations.
But you're asking them.
It's no longer confrontational at this point. It's,
yeah, okay. And that was something the attorneys worked out because it was convenient? I'm only asking, taking a libertarian point of view here. Why you admit guilt before you've even had a charge?
I'll be happy to speak to that as well. Recognize this, that one, that the proceedings and these proceedings are, while they're quasi-judicial, they're still not formal. So the level of formality is determined by our process. And our process isn't extremely formal, first of all. But we come here with, you know, all this evidence already established. We have photos, we have people already appearing. And so to have a full-blown adversarial proceeding to prove when you have someone already started the repairs and have already brought all the photos expressing that this is indeed what has occurred,
is pretty much a waste of time. So the question is, do we want to, if you want us to have to prove it, we can prove it, but if you agree that it's already existed, well, then let's move on to the
next
case.
We had a case today. He said, she said, he said, she said, and we never go anywhere.
Except that we, right.
Well, except so,
but we had photos and
the pictures were there before the defendant said, I've come into compliance. So his issue was, and we were right, you didn't call the inspector
right.
and get a reinspection.
Exactly.
Not that they weren't done, because we never determined that.
Which is, at that point, I don't know if it was.
I think that was
a. Oh, yeah, it was the finding of the. A fine.
What they do in Goose County is that the chairman will say, do you want to contest the violation or do you want to just offer us information? A lot of times they say, no, I don't want to contest the violation, I want to offer information.
Yeah, well, that's what it says to do.
That's what we're doing here.
Yeah,
it's terminology.
Just terminology, I guess.
So would you, I mean, are you asking that I use this terminology? I'm perfectly happy to do it.
You know, that's up to the rest
yeah,
of
no,
the
world. I mean,
my
I,
humble opinion,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Okay.
That's why it's
the
there.
We're having a workshop. Okay.
But like you said, when they come before us, there is evidence to bring them before us.
Right.
So that's why we asked them.
If they
it was there,
agree that the violations occurred at the time of notice.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't, we have a hearing.
Yeah.
And we have a hearing anyway. We have a hearing anyway to determine what we're going to decide and how much time we give them or what the fine, right? What the fine will be. There are all the mitigating circumstances that come into it.
Which is the stuff that's most relevant.
Right.
And I think one of the, as you were pointing out with the situation we had today, that was related to a determination of compliance. I mean, not a determination of compliance or noncompliance, but a determination of imposition of a fine.
Mm-hmm.
When we're dealing with the issue of its compliance or noncompliance, sometimes it is contested. And when it is, as you've seen, we've had to have
yeah,
a hearing.
But I mean,
you know,
I'm not going to continue to argue. I understand
no.
what you're saying. But originally, when they wrote this,
right.
they did put it down.
And this
do you wish to contest?
E. This is from our city. This section E is Code Enforcement Board Rules and Regulations written by our city, is that right? Yeah, Daytona Beach, right?
Well, it's the board's rules. You all adopted them, so they arguably are the rules that you... I mean, we probably drafted them.
Right.
Or someone drafted them probably
right.
well before my time. But
right.
And we've modified them and amended
right.
them as y'all desire. But it's the rules that belong, that are the board's rules. And the issue of, you know, as with any organization, those rules have to be consistent with law. And so, you know, the way you say it doesn't really... I don't know if it necessarily changes whether or not you're asking the question. And I guess the point that Neil's making is, you know, you want to make sure the question's being asked. And I think he's agreeing that the question's being asked. And I don't know if he's necessarily saying you have to ask him whether he's saying we need to change the way we ask it.
There's the way, you know, I'm switching. This way you ask the question, go get a traffic fine, go to court, and the judge says if you plead innocent, the potential is that you'll get twice the fine and go to hell for the rest of your life.
Right.
I think that's blatant intimidation. It might be convenient for the court, and the courts are if the court is run for the convenience of the attorneys and the judge, that's fine if it's done to determine guilt or innocent. I think that's a question that's always bothered me, and that's why
the
language that you use
right.
bothers me as opposed to what it says. Simply, okay. Do you wish to contest what's
Then, yeah, and I guess
not say yes, they exist.
Yeah, and I don't want to beat it anymore.
Those are words, but that's what law is.
Yeah, we got other things, but let me say this as well. Remember too that, and we deal with this all the time with all through law, but guilt and innocence is really, you know, a criminal
right.
Terminology.
Right.
Yeah,
and we're not really trying
right.
to criminalize people. We're just. Yeah.
Just
giving
them $1,000 a day.
Only if they don't do
right.
what they do after the fact, not whether or not
and
it happened.
Really, when you say, do
we
you
don't
contest
people for
the charges,
it
sets up a fight almost to me. It's that, whereas if you say, do you agree that the violations occurred at the time of notice, you're not setting it up to be a fight.
It's similar
to... I mean, that's kind of the way I look at it.
The gentleman who didn't understand with the wall...
if I can just say, the gentleman who didn't understand what the wall is similar to the question of, you know, is it your fault that the wall's down? Which is, that's not what we're trying to figure out. We're not trying to figure out whether you're guilty of the violation.
Right.
We're trying to figure out, did the violation, is there a violation? And if there is, your penalty is not because you have a violation.
Right.
Your penalty is because you failed to remedy the violation. So you're not risking anything in terms of penalty because of the acknowledgement of violation.
Right.
Your risk comes because you failed to remedy it.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, do we have, I mean, does anybody else have any questions that they'd like? I did go through, let's see, the statute C, section C. We might as well go through these things. So we need seven members. And it says that we could have two alternate members, too, that the commission could do that. All right. And a lot of people don't understand in the community that the enforcement procedure shall be the duty of the code inspector to initiate enforcement proceedings. However, no member of the board shall have the power to initiate. And I think that a lot of people in the community don't understand that of us, that they can't just, like someone did to me, they can't just write to me and say, this needs to go to code.
But they can write to inspect.
Exactly, and that's what I, told them to do. Right, but I think in general the residents don't understand that, they think that we have more.
For example, I've gone to your neighborhood watch.
Yeah.
Meetings.
Right.
And I've explained the code process.
Right.
You have actually excused yourself.
Right.
And say, well, I don't want to be here because I'm part of the board and everything.
Right.
Else. You don't have to do that because we're not discussing a particular case.
Right.
However, the process.
Yeah, but you can always get. It always gets into that.
I know. What I'm saying is the process. For example, tonight I'm going to a newly formed.
Santa. South Atlantic, yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
So they want, and right away they sent me a thing is, and we want to know how can they get fined.
Well, right.
No, it's not about finding.
Right.
Code enforcement is not about finding. Code enforcement is about gaining voluntary compliance.
Absolutely.
So there's cases that can take 2 hours to get fixed. There's a case that can take a week to come into compliance. Mm-hmm. Best case scenario, it can take a month. Worst case scenario, it can literally
a year.
Take 3 years.
It could. Well, some of those big problems take a long time to fix.
Is to try to educate our citizens
mm-hmm.
and say, hey, we're out here doing what we can, but you have to realize that there is a legal process and people don't understand that.
Right.
People feel that code enforcement is go and give them a ticket, go and give them a fine.
Right.
How about that?
Right.
So,
or fix it.
Right. And one of the things what you said to that they come to y'all and recognize what you just read here in this pamphlet, that's actually quoted from the law.
Mm-hmm.
So, legally, y'all can't.
Right.
So you're armed with that.
Right.
You know, even if I want to do this, legally, I can't.
Right. Right.
You will need to contact a code enforcement officer.
Absolutely.
I'll give you the number.
Right.
You need to contact the code enforcement department. I can't legally do any. I can't start your case.
Mm-hmm.
So just know that you're armed with that. That's a response. That's a legitimate response. Well, the statute would say that. You can't do it.
Okay. Something else that I wasn't aware of is that if there is something that comes up that you find something that needs instant attention, a code violation, that we can call a special meeting. You can ask us to. Yeah, I didn't realize that. That if it's a life safety issue.
We need to gain, mm-hmm. for example, and Charlie can attest to this because I've dealt with Charlie in other jurisdictions. I mean, that would be something very rare.
Yeah. Right, absolutely. I've never seen it happen.
There's
so.
Other avenues that we can go.
Okay.
If it was a life safety issue, you always have the fire department. They have authority to do certain things. The building official has certain authority to do certain things. So if it's a building that's dilapidated or in that instance, we can condemn it. we don't have to call for a special hearing. However, we do have that process that we can go through.
Right, if it's needed. Right.
The way we've used it in the past has been more related to very complex matters that need to be resolved.
Mm-hmm.
And so it may take two meetings to do it, or three meetings, and we may call a special meeting. But we haven't had to do it in the way, to handle emergencies.
Okay, now I have a question about definitions, too. The definition of what is irreparable and irreversible in nature? Sorry. Right, exactly.
Yeah, you can take a stab at
that. I just.
There's not a whole lot of cases or
rosemary.
Case in point, let's just use the example of a tree.
Okay.
Someone cuts down a tree without a permit.
Uh huh.
Okay. It's irreversible.
You can't
bring that tree back.
Right.
However, they did it without a permit.
Right.
Now, here you go. So that terminology. It's there, irreversible, irreparable.
Right.
You can't repair that tree.
So if you knock down the house or something without a permit, not reverse. Oh, although I guess you could rebuild that.
You
but
can rebuild it, exactly. I can replant another tree, but I'm not going to replant the tree.
The exact tree, right. And you're not going to replant. Okay.
Build that house that I tore down.
There's some things you can fix and some things
you can't. Okay. All right. Could you explain one more time to me what Liz Pendens means and all who owns the house when and what we can do?
Document that she filed the court. That determines that says there's a action on that's an action on the property to foreclosing, and that by placing the list pendants, said something is pending.
Right.
You can't go back and place additional liens on the property.
Yeah, exactly.
It just stops from any once this procedure is going in terms of to a process of foreclosure. You can't go back and do anything to affect the title of that property. By any more liens placed on the property.
Without intervening in the proceeding where it's actually occurring.
Yeah, you have to go and actually get into the lawsuit.
All right, so when if a list pendants, right, means that we can't do anything, if the property is in that state, that the code board we could find them in non-compliance,
yes.
Or we can't find them. We can find them in non-compliance.
You can impose the fine. And that's been an issue of discussion. It's,
uh-huh.
It's been through every opinion to case law.
Mm-hmm.
You can impose the fine,
mm-hmm.
but the effect of the fine, you can't enforce the fine while it's pending. So you can, because you never know if. The ultimate result of all of this pendants is if we have something pending, an action regarding this. If that action should die for whatever reason, then you're not foreclosed or prohibited from starting your time or getting, putting your claim in motion.
Okay.
So you have a claim in motion that has no real ultimate effect until there's this remedy. So if they ultimately go to foreclosure, our stuff is pretty much worthless, what we've learned. But if from somewhere along the way it fails, then what we have going is madness.
Yeah, it's dismissed for some reason.
Okay. Okay, when talking about fines, where do we stand when fines are being collected? Where are we in line? After taxes, after mortgages, after second? We are at the end.
Near the end.
Well, actually, all of it, because they said the super superiority language is so no good. So the only thing, we used to claim that we were second behind taxes.
Right, well, that's what I read in here someplace, that we were second behind.
We wrote it before they had the
okay.
Came out.
Okay.
No.
We're at the end.
We're at the end.
The Palm Bay case is.
Okay, that's the Palm Bay case.
Yeah. About 2 years ago.
That was a case where they the guy never got notice. They never got any notice. It was in New York.
I don't remember the fact.
And they placed a lien on the property, and they said Yeah, but it doesn't matter. We're at the end.
We're at the end. Okay.
And Farm Bay was one that was very adamant. You know, most of us just kind of said, well, if you tell us no, we'll deal with it in court. But they were very adamant on the position that we have it in our code that we give priority. So
right.
That's mm-hmm. Right.
We have a local authority to say that.
Right.
And but that got thrown out.
The court said, no, we don't have local authority to say it. First in time, first in right.
Right.
Where we fall is where we fall when we file.
Right.
Okay.
If we filed before the other folks, then that's great.
Right.
If we didn't file before the other folks,
then that's
great. Right. Okay.
Now, I will say this, though. I won't say this. I don't know.
All right. And some of the other questions I get asked is like, how do we do it when we try and collect money? Do we do well? Do we do not so well? Where, you know, everybody kind of wants to know in the community, what do we do with that money? How do we collect it? How much do we collect? Well, I'm not saying I answer that as a board.
But I'll just give you an example. Okay. I mean, if I recall correctly, I believe last year we collected close to $74,000, I think, round about. Something like that. I'm saying last year, meaning 2013.
Right. Okay. Fiscal year. That's
something
all right.
Something like that.
I don't know. Maybe it's better, but yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just, again, let's just use that. Let's use that as a hypothetical. We collect $74,000. That goes right back into the general fund.
Right.
It's not given to code enforcement.
It goes into the general fund.
Right. Into the
parties.
No parties. Okay. Sorry. Okay.
You know, I mean, we try.
So all the fines and everything, yeah.
You have to realize some properties are homesteaded.
Right.
They're homesteaded. Even though the lien is there, it can take up to 40 years to get that lien paid because it's a homesteaded piece of property. So.
And doesn't that lien go away after 20 years?
Yeah, he said 40 is an example.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's 20 years.
Okay.
20 years and then that's it. So, you know.
Okay.
Somebody puts a lien on my property without 20 years, they may get lucky and get it. Or if not, you know, unless I die and then the estate sells the property, then the lien gets paid.
Okay. And another question is about code sweeps. Do we do them? Do we do sweeps? What is a sweep? What can you do legally? What can't you do legally? These are just questions.
When you're saying we who?
Who you?
Okay. We do, you call them sweeps, we call them operations.
Okay. Okay.
Whatever they are, it's that. Do we do them? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We will take on certain areas. For example, if I'm getting a complaint on the beach side,
mm-hmm.
the north side of the beach,
mm-hmm.
I'm getting complaints constantly in a certain area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have one officer that works that area. However, what I'll turn around and do is say, okay, we're going to dedicate a day, and we're going to do an operation out there, and I'll take all five or six code officers that are working, and we will saturate that area. Mm-hmm. When I say saturated, is we go and proactively go out there and look for violations. We'll write up all the properties, and then that's when I get the infamous calls that
on
the city manager, code the commissioner,
you're picking on me. Right.
The commissioners, they're contacting whoever they can. The chief, you know, he's coming into this area and he's gone crazy and they've broke 40 violations. Well, you complain, but yet when we do it, there's another issue.
Right.
Case in point, the trailer park. That was one.
Mm-hmm.
We went in there. We had building. We had health department. We had the fire department, code enforcement. You know, we'll do operations with other other agencies.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll go in there and we'll tackle problems.
Mm-hmm.
We did the trailer park. We've done, for example, the Heritage Inn was one example where we went. We did the operation of all the hotels along the beach side, and then we did the north side. So we do these operations. However, we're not constantly coming out in the newspaper and putting them in there because, again, it's not about, in my opinion, trying to get glory out of this. We're going into the areas to clean up the areas, to help the people. There's other areas that in Midtown we've done, got in there and done that. But again, you know, it's how it's all perceived. Mm-hmm. Some people welcome it, some people don't welcome it. So basically, in a roundabout way, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't, in a sense.
However, we do do them. So.
Let me tell you guys a story, and I want to share this with you. Back 25 years ago, there was an individual over in DeLand that made parade floats. And you know the story, Faye. Yeah. And he had a piece of property just north of the town, and he had parade junk all over his property, junk everywhere. And the city of DeLand tried to get this, or the county tried to get this person to clean up his act. He had homestead property. Wasn't able to do that. Weren't able to get him to do that, come in compliance. A few years later, a young boy got killed on the property because he went. They were going out to play, him and his friend, and the property owner thought it was a trespasser and shot him. So, you know, the idea, this shows how important code enforcement is. And this was a situation where code enforcement failed. But what they do out there is not so much to make people make houses look nicer. It's because they go out there because of safety issues. We don't want anybody hurt. We don't want anybody drowning in a pool. We don't want a young kid killed right. at a parade site. That's what we're here for. That's why. Remember, sometimes you think about what we do. It's not just making sure that everything looks nice. It's to make sure people are safe. And that's part of that. And that's why they go out. And, you know, we could save one kid from drowning in a pool.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
And that's right.
Yeah,
and we do our job.
Right.
I would like to tell that story because I was the one who filed a motion to close that parade store down, and because it was homestead property, it was denied. I couldn't close it down.
So is there a way to prioritize? Do you prioritize violations?
Yeah. I mean, here's how we... If you're going to call me and tell me that there's a car parked out in front of your house or... out on the street, is that a code violation? Absolutely. Is that at the top of the priority list?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And just like Charlie just going to say,
mm-hmm.
there are certain things that will take precedence. A pool that's not being maintained,
right.
storage.
Right.
So to I'll get the complaints that I called you 4 days ago and this car's still there.
Right.
It's not it is a code violation.
Right.
It's not something that's
okay.
going to drop everything and run
right.
you right away. Will we get to it? Yes, we will.
Okay.
The other instance is sometimes it's not a code; it's a police issue, and that's where people get that misunderstanding. We don't refer it to the police, but again, police have. Priority of things. They're after crime.
Right. Right.
Preventing crime. A parked vehicle, I have a police liaison officer I'm going to introduce him in a little bit. But, you know, he can go out. So, again, there's different avenues that we tackle things
mm-hmm.
and we try to prioritize. But life safety, as Charlie said,
okay.
is the first and most important.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is realize that my staffing... Once upon a time, the city of Daytona Beach had 12 code enforcement officers. Right now, we have 6. We had 7. One resigned, so now I'm down to 6 to cover this entire city. So right now, I've made the decision with the chief and said, you know what? We can only handle reactive. We're only being reactive. I'm going out there on complaint
right.
basis.
Right.
I can't have an officer say, you know what? I'm going to take the 500 block of South Palmetto, and I'm going to cover that area and see what I can find, and I don't have the staffing
okay.
power for that. So again, the perception is that code isn't doing anything, but in fact we are. We're just going based off of complaints.
Right.
We have special events that we also partake in.
Right.
So when these special events come up, now code enforcement, in a sense, takes a back seat. So Bike Week is coming up.
Right.
That's 2 weeks that we'll be out there.
Well, before and after as well.
Correct. So now that's a 2-week lag that my
right.
officers are going to be behind.
We're
right.
part of the task force. You've got a specific
right.
task that are of great importance
right.
related to those events.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still going to be 2 weeks behind because now phone calls and everything else
right.
in the interim, like Tony just said, with the task force, because we're going to be on Main Street.
Right.
We're going to be on Beach Street. We're going
right.
to be on... 2nd Avenue. So all these things come into play.
Mm-hmm.
But, and again, it's not that I'm looking for an excuse, but that's just
right. Right.
the way it is.
Something I highlighted in the chapter 162, subsection 2, is the intent of the statute, or the why, what as far as the Code Enforcement Act, and this is from the statute. I don't, I'm, I kind of pulled it out, so I don't know where it is in your packet. This is me copying the statute. But in that section it says, it is the intent of this part to promote, protect, and improve the health, safety, and welfare of the citizens of the counties and municipalities of the state by authorizing the creation of administrative boards with authority to impose administrative fines and other non-criminal penalties. Why? To provide an equitable, expeditious, effective, and an expensive method of enforcing code and ordinances enforced in city and municipality where pending or continuing violations exist. So there's a purpose. I mean, for
okay, I see that's,
you know,
really, yeah,
protecting, improving,
right,
safety, welfare, and these, you know, so it's as he says, it included in their concern, even when we're looking at these structural issues in the building, it's still issues of health, safety, and welfare.
Right.
Do you want all the kids not coming to school with respiratory problems because you got mold everywhere, because you got a leaky roof?
Right.
And so when there's an occupied structure and someone calls and says, the plumbing's bad, the house may burn down, there's electrical problems, or, you know, do you ignore it or do you get out there?
Right.
And then how do you weigh it against other things that are important, even the appearance standards, in terms of the well-being of our community, because our community is economy-based tourist community.
Right.
So, you know, you have to deal with those aspects. So can you, how long can you put off an appearance,
right,
problem?
Right.
You know, so all of them have their certain degree of importance, but and they all related to its overall purpose, which is to get out there, improve, protect, and
okay,
maintain.
Right.
Let me add to this is that sometimes, you know, I'll get a complaint from John Smith and he'll say to me, I know that at 123 Main Street they're doing work without a permit. Well, we'll go to 123 Main Street, and if we're not allowed inside,
right,
how do we find that violation that John Smith called and says, I know they're doing it?
Right.
Okay. He has knowledge. We don't know how, that he's telling us, but we can't prove it until we go inside.
And there may be legal ways we can, but even those legal,
right,
ways, the question is, right, one, it takes time, and two, is it going to really rise to the level that a court's going to grant us that right of entry? I believe he's building an extra room. Well, I don't know if the court's going to get,
right,
us in there.
Are we going, right, to get an inspection warrant? I mean, there's a way to get an inspection warrant, but the requirements that to obtain that inspection warrant are this long, and is it worth
already cheating, already breaking the rules, or is it health, safety, welfare?
Right, right. Now, when you go out and inspect, do you knock on the door and ask if you can come in, and people let you? How do you get in?
Legally,
what are the rules for going inside?
Legally, we can inspect. We can go out to a property, okay, and we are allowed to use the common area, which is the walkway. The
right.
Sidewalk,
right.
Okay. If their complaint is from the backyard, I'm not allowed to,
right,
go into the backyard unless I have expressed permission from the property owner,
okay,
or the tenant.
Okay.
The tenant can allow me into the backyard.
Okay.
Because they have
possession control.
Thank you.
There you,
okay, control of the property.
Mm-hmm.
So Tony owns the property, but you are the tenant. You can allow me into,
okay,
the backyard.
Okay.
You,
I didn't know that.
You can allow me inside of the home.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we can rely,
ah,
on the,
interesting,
tenancy,
okay,
tenancy, unless we have some good reason to not believe it.
Right.
You know, we can't go there and everything we look at tells us these people are squatters and say, oh, well, they told us we could go back there.
Mm-hmm.
But if we have good faith reason to believe that this person has the authority to grant, then we can respond under that authority.
Okay, that's interesting.
That's how we can do it. How? Now, here's the other thing is that people have the misconception that because we're neighbors and there's a fence split behind us and I as a neighbor, can get up on a chair and look over and,
right,
see the jar. I, as a code officer,
can't do
that.
Okay.
The law says I can only deal with whatever I can see as eye level.
Okay.
I can't even take the iPad and go like this to try to go over the fence and take a picture.
Okay.
Legally, I'm not supposed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't follow the invitation of the neighbor to the second floor with naturally non-invasive.
Right.
Because it's naturally, not non-invasive, naturally no expectation of privacy because of the
second floor.
So I can do that.
Oh.
I can't create my
okay.
advantage.
I see.
Get down on the ladder, climbing the tree.
Right.
But, you know, the natural
if he
part.
Says to me, here's the ladder, climb up. No, I can't do
right.
that. But if he owns a second floor, I mean, a second story
right.
home, and he says to me, come inside and you can see it
right.
from the
balcony.
My
right.
balcony.
That's what's offending me.
Yeah.
I see it all the time.
I see it all the time. You know what? I go out there
right.
and try to have a glass of wine with my wife, and I'm tired of looking at that
right.
garbage.
Reading pool.
Guess what? All bets are off now because now he's
okay.
invited me into his home.
Okay.
And one of the things that Tony and I have discussed and that I've implemented is that now that if we go into a tenant occupied home.
Right.
Because of certain things that have transpired throughout the city, I've turned around and I said, you know what, I want my officers, and we have them on the iPads, and they have them on them also, is you are a tenant, and you're allowing me into the home, I want you to sign this consent form.
Oh, good idea, right?
So now,
right. now you're protected, right.
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 Correct.
Right.
If you refuse, I'll write it in,
right.
update it, but the idea is it's not that we have to do that, but it's protection for
right, us. Absolutely.
Because people tend to say, well, I never invited him in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Or he forced me to allow him. No, I didn't force him to do anything.
Right. So, you know, the reason I'm asking all these questions is because these are questions that I hear in the community. And it's nice to know the answers to them. But I think there are a lot of people in the community that don't realize what code can and can't do. You know, I know not all these questions were pertinent to what our board does, but I still get a lot of questions about code and people expecting all kinds of things, you know, from the board and from you guys, that whether you can or, you know.
Something like that, I mean, that's why we try to, I mean.
That's why tonight's going to be really important for those people in South Atlantic, and you
right.
go there and address those things,
well,
because I'm sure you'll get some of the same
well,
questions.
The anatomy of a code.
Right.
People don't understand. I mean, if you look at it, a layman person's going to look at it and be like, what is this?
Right.
So we'll have to explain that to them. And then the other part is that, again, it's education. I mean,
right.
you get people that are calling you and asking you questions that you don't have the answer to, you can always refer them to me. Now,
right.
they may not be happy with what they hear.
Right.
But unfortunately, there are certain things, and like I tell people all the time, you know, good case, we can get the people to do the compliance.
Right.
Worst case, it can
right.
take up to a year to 2 years.
Right.
Y'all have been real good with this. All boards over the history, the code boards, haven't been as good. But this, the group that's here now has been real good with this. And that's when you do have someone looking for, trying to get an understanding or wanting to solve a code problem, code is the people you want them to get to. You know, we've had history where, oh, well, if you talk to the lawyer, well, I'm not really their lawyer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Any legal advice on anything. I could tell them what a statute, where it is in the statute.
Mm-hmm.
And Amy's really not, you know, their solution either. And so the people they need to be finding is, you know, probably starting with Hector, and he'll, I'm sure, direct them to whichever area.
Mm-hmm.
Assigned, you know, inspector to try and address the concern.
Right.
But it's a concern that's, you know, to the inspectors and not really to this level of staff, you know, the attorney or you know, now, of course, at the same time, I say that, but if someone, you know, you really got something pressing or you got someone that you're really trying to help and you think, I know something that could help them, I'm always willing and to do that. But, you know, ideally, if someone's contact you about something, one, you're going to direct them, but
right.
something that you have a particular interest in and you want to even make a phone call, you know, those calls should be going to the inspector.
Mm-hmm. All right, does anybody have any more questions or want to talk about anything, comments?
Yes.
Okay, there you go.
This, I guess, bothers me because it goes back to when I was living up in Maryland. And I had a neighbor who's had a grandchild that drowned in the pool. We've had cases come before us where the pools have not been secured. And it takes a while to get them secured. It takes a while before the case becomes in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way that we can get faster action on some of these, what I call, extremely dangerous situations. Another example is something that, one of the issues that came up today. The individual that lived in a building that didn't have electricity, mm-hmm. so decided to run the electrical cord across the street right. to another building to sap electricity from that building. What if a child came along and a wire got there? Child touched that electric unit. What can we do to speed up human endangerment situations?
Well, that's why I kind of brought up the we can call a special meeting when something comes up, because I tend to agree that some of these situations are scary.
Well, the thing is, you're right, you can call a special meeting. I think we effectively, the ultimate outcome, and, you know, your authority is only what you have. You only can do what you can do.
Right.
And the ultimate authority of the board, just like, you know, the magistrate kind of says this often, and because no matter how frustrated you may get about a situation, your ultimate authority is just to find. I mean, you don't really have a way to make it stop.
That's correct.
You can authorize
right.
to make it stop, that's what the statute says, but
right.
you don't have any authority as a board to fix it or
right.
make it stop. So, but there are people who do, and there are processes to get it stopped. And so we try and work within the city, within the means that we have. I mean, we're still a tax-based, you know, organization relying on the dollars that we're given, and to immediately try and remedy those things that we, you know, prioritize them as best we can and get them done. So, you know, if it's an inspector and he has that knowledge or you get it that way, we have other mechanisms that doesn't necessarily demand an action from the board, like utilizing within our chapter 22 or the building code for health safety.
So in other words, if there, let's just say there was an open pool that was very inviting and just was waiting, an accident waiting to happen, this you or the city could go in and just board that up, board it over without coming to the board.
Oh yeah.
We can, cool.
It's a process.
Okay.
We can do that.
All right.
The only thing
okay.
we've got to worry about is when we get it here.
Yeah.
Make sure that we handle it properly.
Right.
What happens before it gets here? I mean, it sounds cruel, and maybe, but that's their problem.
Okay.
But once it gets to us, we've got to make sure that we do what we have to do.
Right.
And we fines, we have the ability to fine, but we also have the ability under 16208, which says issue orders having the force of law to command whatever steps are necessary to bring the violation in compliance. We don't use that section very often,
right.
but it is there. And like we want to order somebody, for example, to vacate a home. We have that section would allow us to do that. So we don't use it very often, but it is there, and we can do it. We can use it if we have to.
Okay.
Okay, so realize that if what Charlie just said, vacate a home.
I know.
It's putting the city in a very comfortable.
That's why we don't do it very often.
Right. Because now we have to somehow relocate the
right,
person,
right.
pay for it, and so forth and so
That's
on.
Right.
So again, it goes based on tax dollars, monies that are available.
And so, you're still left with potential delays because the that you get an objection from the city and then a threat of appeal and
right.
you know not that but what Charlie's saying is there's times when you have to maximize everything that you can do, and that's what I was saying.
Right.
You have a limit. There's only so much you can do, but sometimes you get to a point where you got to maximize it
mm-hmm.
to know that you've done all you can
mm-hmm.
because that's what you're there for. You're there to do everything you can do to resolve this problem with the tools that you have. But then recognize that when your tools run out, that you still
know right.
what's going on, and hope that, you know, you got a system that's following and responsive. And we try and be, and I hope mm-hmm. that over the time you learn
right.
and saw that the city tries to be, but that you have a system that's being responsive and doing something that, especially when you express it as something that's important to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because sometimes, especially again, I got to go back years, but sometimes you have those situations where we're not real clear, you know, no one's made it as clear as they could that this thing is important to the board.
Right.
We want this done.
Right.
So you get to that point where, you know, I understand what this guy says, and this is, but we want it done.
Right.
Then, okay, we can go and carry that message along and do whatever we can do with the limits that we have.
But
I mean, we're still limited, but we'll do what we can.
The main problem I run upon in C, and it's been going on for years, is understanding. And I think code is great, and we need to have more community talks.
Yeah.
Because believe it or not, one in my community is going around now is, you'd be surprised with people that do not know that the color for Daytona is pastel. And the few that do know are now wondering why would the city paint something that wasn't pastel. See, and I think I know we're going to have y'all to talk to them, because the average person feel like if this is my property, I can do what I want to do.
And you're 100% correct when you say that. However, there are certain areas within the city that are in a redevelopment area, and there are different guidelines for them now, and because they either reside in the redevelopment area or they have a business or own a building within the redevelopment area. And again, it's like you're saying, everything has to be where there has to be some sort of communication factor. Explain to people, because I've heard it where I've done this for the past 20 years,
exactly.
And now you're telling me I can't do this.
You never were allowed to.
Well, you weren't allowed to do it for 20 years, is one. You got away with it for 20 years.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, it's been brought to light, so now this is what you need to do to correct it. People don't like to hear that. And part of me says, you know what, I'm a homeowner, I own my home, I should be able to do what I want within my home. I get that. But there's also guidelines that the city puts down, and that's why.
Thank you, Mongo Bongo, or whatever his name is.
Like Prince Mongo, exactly. You know, I mean, he was one. But again, you know.
It can be carried to extremes.
Right. Now, to address something that you brought up, the property today with the extension cord and everything else, numerous times Officer Garcia Danny had gone out there and said to them, unplug it. We can't babysit these people either.
Right.
You know, the police can't babysit, we can't babysit. So, again, people are going to do what they choose to do. There's no requirement that says they have to have electricity to live in a home.
Right.
The requirement is that they have to have running water.
Right.
Now, running water can consist of somebody bringing me 5 gallons of water, and so long as I can pour that into the toilet,
really?
It works. Okay? So now,
rainy season, put the pot out.
Correct. Rainy season, put a pot out, get a big garbage can, fill it up with water, and use that. Catch 22, again, I didn't write these laws.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the things that, and see, all of you look puzzled, but that's what we have to deal with out there. So now I have, you know, Mrs. Smith calling me saying, Mr. Smart is living in a home, no electricity, no running water, but yet I get there and he turns around and says, what do you mean I have no water? I've got 2 5-gallon jugs right here.
You are kidding.
Well, I always thought, and it came up once, I thought years ago that it had to, you could do that, but you had to put it in like a tank or something with a faucet.
We're going
to
go for coffee.
We're getting a little off track.
We're getting off topic, but I'm just giving the example. You know,
that's
you brought
true.
It
but
can city make rules that supersede that? And for example, in Ocala, where I own a couple pieces of property, I have to provide the water and pay for it. I can charge them, but the water's in my name.
But you're a landlord.
Yeah. Yeah.
I apologize.
Yes. Okay. We're ready to go. Yeah. Okay. No. Sorry. Donuts, right? No, can't have donuts either. All right. So, do you want to introduce someone?
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is Aaron Perro. Officer Saracusa has been reassigned, so Officer Aaron Perro was now the police liaison to code enforcement.
Okay.
Working hand in hand closely with both myself and the officers, and If I'm not around and you all need to, he'll be there to hopefully answer your questions.
Okay.
And if he doesn't have an answer, you know, he'll be able to get it.
Okay.
How long have you been in the force?
7 years.
Thank you.
Okay. He'll be actually with me on MSP.
Now, I was a little upset when she told us she was leaving. Yeah, I didn't know, but great.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? Meeting adjourned.